Good morning, everybody. Good morning. God is so good, and we are doing so many wonderful things here in church today. And you're here in church today. People in Derby said it couldn't happen, but look what we have. We have a family in Christ. We have a body for God. We have this church lit up and ready to go and ready to serve God. Right, Hector? Hector's ready to serve God and praise God and enjoy God together. We pray for all those who are not here today. We need to start praying more for our brothers and sisters. We spoke to George on the phone, and things are looking so much nicer. I didn't expect to hear how happy he was, but George is doing good and Pat's doing good. They want to be here. We're believing real soon that they will be here, so we need to pray for everybody that you see not here. I guess you can't see they're not here. And you see that they're not here because you can't see they're not here.
There's more coming in.
Yes. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. Amen? Because we have a beautiful thing here in Derby. We really do. Other people would think it impossible. I was told that it was impossible, and nothing's impossible with God. And we have a beautiful family. Let's stand up and pray together this morning. This may be the greatest sermon you've ever heard in your whole life today. This may be the sermon that changes your heart, draws you closer to God, more closer than you ever thought possible. Imagine that. It can happen this morning. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this building. We thank you for those in attendance, Lord. Let your spirit soar. Let people just enjoy this day. Let we got the rain outside. Just let that happen out there. And let joy and peace be in this house today as we sing praises to your name and we rejoice, Lord, and we come together as a family in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. You know, sometimes it's a lot of fun to take a secular song and make it a Christian song. We're doing that right.
Thank you.
Be baptized this morning and receive the Holy Spirit of God in your heart once again. Receive it anew. Say that with me. Receive it anew. We can do it each and every day. Give me, Greg, if you would. I don't know, Greg. On the winds of a snow white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love. Bible says that heaven and angels rejoice when one sinner repents. How many one sinner on earth repents and said heaven rejoices? Can you imagine how heaven is rejoicing when we're just praising the Son? The simplicity of seek and knock and ask. That's all he wants from you. To seek for him, to knock at the door and ask him to come in. What a beautiful God you serve. Give him praise. This is a beautiful day.
That was beautiful. That gave everybody peace. Look at what we have today. Look at our family today. It's raining outside. There's churches that our doors are closed, but here we are in Derby, Connecticut. In Derby, Connecticut, with the buildings all torn down on May Street that I remember, on Elizabeth Street, things are gone. But yet, here we are, right in the center of town, bringing God to the city, bringing God to you and me. Isn't that a great thing? I think it's a great thing you all are doing. Give yourself a nice hand. Give yourself praise. You're doing the impossible. And I know you're like me. We'd like to see all our friends come back. And I believe I had a wonderful conversation with George. I don't want to say too much. But George sounded really good the other day. And I know, David, that we had a wonderful report from Marty and Margie. And we were going to go see him, but the other day we were coming home from work, and I told my wife, I got a sore throat. All of a sudden, it's gone downhill since then. So we certainly don't want to be that close to y'all, but I wouldn't miss this for the world. But we are so blessed. George and Elaine, we're here. You're here with us. This is your family. This is a beautiful thing that we're doing here. You ought to just see God working and enjoy that. Let's stand up and pray together. I'm excited about the things of God. For you and for me, our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. That's our promise. That's our promise this morning. Phil and Judy are here. Good to see you guys. God bless you for being with us today. David, thank you for being with us. God bless you, everybody. God bless you all.
Thank you.
You got a short responsive reading. You won't get tired. You ready? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoundrels. Scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth its fruit in the season, which leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
That's why we need to pray for each and every soul we know to find God, to come to God, no matter what life they're living, no matter what they're doing. Just ask them to repent. The Bible says that the angels in heaven and heaven itself rejoice when one sinner repents. That's pretty powerful stuff. Amen? I think it's pretty powerful. I think it is. As far as the testimony, I want to read one more, what I read last week. I want to read one scripture for us, for everybody here today, to understand that things come against us. We all face things. We all go through different trials and tribulations. But the Bible has given us what we need to do. And it says, therefore, according to the book of Hebrew, strengthen the hands which hang down. In other words, don't look weak. Don't look. He's saying, strengthen those hands and feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. God is saying, trust in me. He's saying, walk with me. Yeah, you got something going on, but walk with me. Get them arms stronger. Get them legs right. Walk with faith and let other people see that faith. Let other people see why you're believing what you're believing. That brings other people to God, but you know what else? It makes you stronger. It makes you feel confident. And when you're confident and your body's at peace, guess what happens? The Bible says it right there. You shall be what? Healed. God can do miracle work and stuff in you when you just relax and be at peace. When you have that peace that surpasses all understanding. Because we all go through things. And it's easier to say when you're not the one going through it. But when you see it in the body of Christ, when you see your brothers and sisters getting through things, fighting through things, rising up, you say, I want that, God. I want that peace in my life. And then I want it for my children and my grandchildren. But you got to be the strong ones today. You're the ones today, Brother John, good to see you. You're the ones today that are standing up for your children and your friends and your neighbors. Hallelujah. So that's what it says. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Don't look like you're in agony. And your feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. That's the word of who?
God,
that's not my words. That's in Hebrews 12:12. You can look it up for yourself and read it and understand God is telling us how to live our life. So let's pray together this morning that we start to see, we start to have that faith that surpasses understanding, and we get stronger in the Lord. We're not afraid to talk about the Lord to people. We're not afraid to let that light shine. We're not going to be afraid because God has got our back, and he wants us to be strong, and he wants us to prosper. And that's not just about money. Amen? That's mean good things in your life. A good job. A good friends. Good fellowship. That's prosperity. Somebody there to help you when you're down. That's prosperity. He's calling us to prosper. And when we do it according to his way, the Bible says we shall prosper. So let's just rejoice this morning. I see things that I pray about, and I see God corrects me, and God shows me and says, no, this place is being blessed. Stop talking about it, not me. We're all blessed today. We're all in a great place today. We're with God today. We couldn't be in a better place. So rejoice, knowing that God is in control. control of everything in our lives. That's when you feel the best. When you see God in it and you give Him thanks and praise and you're no longer lucky anymore, God is blessing you. And when you start to see blessings coming in each and everything in your life, you become stronger. That's how it works. That's how faith grows. So I pray that you receive that today. Be strong in the Lord today. Be strong in whatever you're going through. Be strong in the Lord. Let Him raise you up and you will know at the end that God is with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, Lord.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. There's the stamp. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you're here today. You're here on a great day. Because I'm going to give you the greatest sermon ever heard today. I'm going to give the greatest sermon ever heard. The first thing I need to do to give you the greatest sermon ever heard, I need to get out of myself. I need to get out of my own way because I can't do it. I can call my friends. I can call everybody and help me with the greatest sermon ever given, but they can't do it either. So how can I give you the greatest sermon in the world? I got to get out of my way first because I'll be one of the people getting in the way. And I can't trust Wigglesworth, who I love, and I can't trust Billy Graham, who I love, and I can't trust those evangelists on TV because I'm listening to them. So if I'm listening to them and you're listening to me, it's not the greatest sermon ever given. So how do I do this? Aha. Aha. How to bring you God. How to bring God to you. How do I give you God so that you hear from God and not your pastor? How I give it to you that you hear from God and not your friend and not Fred. Hallelujah. I love Fred. We missed you. How do I get you to hear from God? I prayed about that all week. I want to give the greatest sermon. I want you to hear from God. What do I got to do? It's easy. I'll read His word to you this morning. How are you all doing today? Are you all with me? Because this is going to be a little different. I'm still going to get all fired up and I'm all excited. But the only way to give you a perfect sermon is to read the word of who? God. So when I read the word of God and you listen to it, and I pray you'll get it this morning and let it absorb into you, and you feel like, Sergio, God's talking to you, then you'll get something out of it that I didn't get because you're listening and you're thinking about things going on in your life. Amen. When you start thinking about things going on in your life and you're hearing the word of God, God's talking to who? You, not me. So the best way to bring you God is to bring you His word. Are y'all with me this morning? Let's start. I'm going to start and I'm going to read 1 Timothy. This is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. But he wrote it for all believers. How many believers? All of us. So this is from the Bible. And what is the Bible? God's what? Word. All right. We're good. We're all there. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit. Oh, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. Paul is saying, I want to come. But he said, if I'm delayed, I write so you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Ooh, this is good. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. We can all agree. This is the house of God. Say amen. And if this is the house of God, this is the church of the living God, this is God's house, and we're in it this morning. We're in a great place. And without controversy, we're in a great place. In the mystery of godliness. Now listen to what he says. God was manifested in the flesh. As Jesus, He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the Gentiles. That's us. He was believed on in the world and received up to glory. There you go. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Have we not been seeing that? Have you not seen people leave the church and leave God for all kinds of reasons? And you not see sin flying around here and everybody saying, oh, that's not sin. Oh, that's okay to do. Doctrines of demons. Amen. When you're doing things that is according and not according to the word of God, you're doing things according to the doctrine of demons. And Paul is saying, the Spirit especially says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They're getting into these other words and they're getting it deep into their spirit so that they can't turn around and find God. Listen to what they do. Forbidding to marry. Who forbid to marry? Did God? Who did? Man did. Right here. This is what they're doing. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. How many here believe? You all know the truth. He's saying that these people, these lies and hypocrisy and their own conscience seared with a hot iron, they're forbidding people to marry and commanding to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now listen to this. For every creature of God is good. How many? And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. What does that mean? When you pray over your meal this morning and this afternoon you go to the diner, it means that that meal was set apart, sanctified, because you prayed over that meal. Whatever meal you're having, that meal is a good meal because you did what? You prayed over it. You should pray over every meal. Just say a little prayer. It doesn't have to be. And remember, don't be a long-winded prayer when people are sitting there waiting to eat their food. But it's forbidding to marry, and we've seen that, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created. Imagine that, to be received with thanksgiving. For every creature of God is good. How many creatures are good? Every creature. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. That works for me. Does that work for you? Okay, listen, this is beautiful. Are you with me? Let God speak to you. He's speaking to you. Just because I'm your pastor, understand, just because I'm the pastor today doesn't mean that when you leave here, you don't become pastors. You don't become ministers. You don't become elders and deacons. When you leave here and you talk to your friends and your family and your neighbors, you become the minister. You become the pastor. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that I'm teaching you and I'm reading the word of God today. But when you leave here, you become the teacher to those who do not know. And it says right here in Timothy 4:6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? If you instruct the brethren in these things, if you do what we're doing right now, you will be a good minister to Christ. But he's saying, but reject profane and old wives' tales, fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. What do you got to do? Exercise yourself towards godliness. Anybody do any exercising at home? It says, no, don't laugh. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. How many things? Having promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. God is speaking to you right now. He's saying, for bodily exercise, my children, profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. And it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Command and teach. Reproach. What does reproach mean? Anybody ever invite somebody to church and they laughed at you? Anybody ever invite somebody to church and they just, it ain't, and you start talking about God to somebody, they don't want to hear it. You start trying to teach them. That's the reproach. Who else had that? Jesus had that. Who else had that? All the apostles had that. That's what we face when we try to tell people about God. We face that reproach. Hallelujah. But God knows that. For this end, we both, all of us, labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God. You're telling people about God. Why? Because you trust him. Because you love him. God is talking to you right now, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. That's us. And he's saying, these things command and teach. And then he's telling them, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. And there are six examples. I'm going to read them one at a time. But he's saying, let no one despise your youth. You people might say to you, oh, you haven't been a Christian that long, or have you only been this, or you didn't get that, you didn't go to school for that. He's saying, let nobody despise your youth, but be an example to the believer. Are you ready? In word, in your conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. God is telling you today, don't worry about what you don't know. Don't worry, don't let anybody despise your lack of knowledge. But you're an example to these people. You're the example in all those things. In your word, what you say, in your conduct, how you act, in love, how you love them, in your spirit, in faith, and in purity. And Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Hallelujah. That's God talking to us, folks. You ready for more? I got more. Thank you, Lord. God wants to talk to you this morning. This is the perfect sermon when I'm just reading from the Bible because I get out of God's way. I just want you to understand how he's talking to you. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. He's just saying that the work here on earth, don't get entangled in all that nonsense and all that noise, the affairs of this life. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned. Let me say that again. He is not crowned. Let me say that one more time. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Hallelujah. Then he says, remind them of these things. That's what I'm doing this morning. That's what you do outside. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. How many times we've talked about things and actually made an enemy with somebody or had an argument about something that was really kind of, there's no need for it, amen? There was no sense in it. There was nothing to be gained from the argument, nothing to be gained by what you said and what they said to you. But we kept on going, and the Bible says not to do that. Let me read that again. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Let me tell you, we can do that so simply. You can do that in the house of God just as simply as in a restaurant. We all do not believe the same thing politically. Can I get an amen? If we started a discussion about what we don't know and what we disagreed with, we could cause this church to erupt. We can divide even the body of Christ because those things, the Bible says, they're not worth talking about. They're not worth our energy. They don't unite anybody. They don't lift anybody. They don't bring us together. And I want to be together. I don't care if we disagree with something that's got no control over us anyway, that we can't control. I want us to be in unity about what we can control and the blessings that come from God. And the Bible says to be diligent. That means we got to keep our eye on to present yourself approved to God. Not to me, but to God. Not to your neighbor, but to who? God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, if you're just talking about God and you're talking about good things and you're not getting into those things, you don't need to be ashamed. For shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Hallelujah. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Many churches have been destroyed because people started talking about things instead of talking about God. They talk about being justified. They talk about their personal needs. They talk about something else, something that needs to be changed in the world. And God says he's the only one that can justify, amen? God is the one who justifies. God is the one who forgives us. God is the one who raises us up. So when we start talking about justifying things and making things fair, that's not our job. Amen? That causes division. And that's how churches are ruined. I think that they should be just reading the Bible. I believe that we should just read this Bible, enjoy it. We should study it. You should read it at home so God can talk to you. One page. What I'm reading right now, you all understand it. That's why I hear people say, oh, I start reading and I don't understand. I say, well, turn the page. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Hallelujah. I love this one. God is talking to us. He's saying, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. To how many? I know, it's hard, right? We're supposed to be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient. In humility, correcting those, this is beautiful. In humility, now, you got to be humble. Correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, for that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. That's so today. That's God talking to us today. How to be strong in him, how to be strong in the church, how to be strong with our friends. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Who's telling us to do that? Am I? No. I'm reading it from where? So that God's talking to you this morning. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. That's not easy. Does anybody agree with me that that's not easy? You want to be gentle and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. And listen, brothers and sisters, just because somebody doesn't agree with you doesn't necessarily mean they're in opposition or they're demon-filled, okay? They just don't agree with you. But you still want to pray for them. You want to pray for their peace. But you say, the Bible says, if God perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, not that they may agree with you, but they may know the truth. And the truth does what? Sets us what? Hallelujah. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And in my Bible, perilous is really dark. It's really brought out. What do they call that when they do that? We need the word is really dark. It's in bold print. Thank you. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They will be boasters. They will be proud. They will be blasphemers. They will be disobedient to parents. They will be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. They will be slanderers, without self-control. They will be brutal, despisers of good. Boy, Paul doesn't pull any punches here. He said men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be traitors. They'll be headstrong. They'll be haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And they will be having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such turn away. Paul's telling us, this book might be 2,000 years old, but can I get an amen? He's talking about today, amen? He's talking about churches, and forgive me, Lord, I'm not judging, but he's talking about churches that are telling you things that are all right to do, even though they're not in the Bible. They've decided that we're going to get together and we're going to mingle all these religions, and we'll decide, okay, I like that. Okay, we'll accept this. Okay, that's good to do. We'll accept that. And I'll tell you one person that hasn't done that yet. It's the God of this Bible. That's why you got to read this Bible. Now, we don't look at the sin. We look at the sinner. And if somebody doesn't believe that they're sin, he doesn't have a need for God. Understand? If somebody doesn't think all the things that nothing they do is sinning, then you don't need God. But if you want repentance and you want to be in God's favor and God's grace, you have to have a heart of repentance. You have to humble yourself. It doesn't mean that you're going to live a perfect life. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to. He knows we can't. Even Paul tells us in another letter that what he wills to do, he can't do, Sergio. And what he doesn't do, he doesn't want to do. And he said, oh, I'm fighting with my body every day. But the Bible is telling us that men and women will walk away from God, turn their back on God, look for somebody else to tell them that what they're doing is all right. And you don't want anybody else to tell you what you're doing is all right. You want God to tell you what you're doing is all right. Amen? Hallelujah. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such, simply says, turn away. I charge you, everybody here and myself, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Say that with me, three words. Preach the word. It says, be ready in season and out of season. That's not like deer season, Dick and Chuck. It's rabbit season. It says, be ready in season and out of season. That means just be ready. At any time, as the door opens up for you to talk about God, for you to answer a question, amen? It says, be ready in season and out. In other words, when you just don't think it's time, something will happen. He's saying, be ready. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And then he says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, me, everybody here, you be watchful in all things. Endure the afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry. That's the most beautiful sermon that you can hear, the Word of God. Somebody reading the Word of God. The Bible itself will do the job. The Bible itself will do the job. Reading, teaching, exhorting. The Word, the world is hungry for God's Word. How many have ever say something good to somebody and they want to hear it? How many want to hear good news? That's what the world wants. To follow God, we must follow His Word. The Bible. We can hear His voice in our ears when we read His Word. It says again, to be an example in our word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity to all believers, and make so to be to, more so to unbelievers. We must be an example of Jesus and His love. We must have this Word inside of us. Today's sermon came right out of God's Word. There's no controversy. There's no disagreeing because God wrote those words for us. Give Him praise as we heard a sermon from God this morning. Be that example.
Just a close walk with Thee. Is my plea.
Daily
read from God's Word. We had a sermon. We listened to God. And some of it maybe seemed a little down or seemed a little like a teaching and lecturing. But here's the thing. Anybody have a best friend? Y'all got a best friend? You know what God is saying to you? He's sharing this with us. Paul is sharing this with Timothy. You know why? We're all best friends. See, when you read this word and you start doing it, it's like God's got his arm on your shoulder saying, I know you can do this. Elaine, I know you can do this. Al, I know you can do this. This is why I'm teaching you, because I trust you, because you're my friend. The Bible said we are friends with God. So he gives us this word, tells us what to do, how to teach others, how to lift others up. And also Paul is teaching us to what to think, to watch out for, the things to kind of help the church be stronger, because he wants this church, he wants Second Congregational to rise up and shine. So he's given us this word for us to be stronger. But it's like God's got his arm on your shoulder saying, you're my friend, I trust you with this. I'm giving you this word, John, today because I know you can do it. I'm teaching you this. When you read the word of God and God is speaking to you, he's speaking to you because he knows you can do what he's asking you to do. He knows you got things in your life you need help with. He knows you want the wishes and prayers, but he's saying, while I'm doing that, while I'm answering your prayer, let's walk together. Let's talk together. Let's have that closer walk with God. Just come spend time with me. I'll teach you because I trust you. I'll teach you my ways. I'll teach you godly ways. I gave you the love of my son already, but read my word. Read what I gave Paul to give to us, and your life and your families will be different. It says your home will prosper. You will prosper with your families when you learn that gentle touch, to be gentle with people and not be confrontational, and to do those things that lift the body of Christ up to make it stronger. We all will be blessed by that. But God is saying to you today, I'm your friend. I trust you with this. Come and love me. Give him praise, church. Cross, he did it for all of us. He did it once for all. I mean, we weren't even here when he did it, but we're still receiving the blessings. What kind of God is that? He's just the most amazing God of all. We live in amazing grace. We live in the covenant of grace, which is just beautiful, given to us. We didn't earn it. He said, no, I love you. I'm going to give it to you. Hallelujah. And then we read his word and we read about what he did in that room when he blessed the bread, told the apostles, this is my body being torn for you. And he said, eat this and do this in remembrance of me, what he was going to do. And they didn't understand, but you do. You know why you understand? Because you have the word of God. Amen. Paul didn't have the word of God. He wrote the word of God. John, all them, they didn't have a Bible. They had the Old Testament, but you got the good news. Hallelujah. Receive God this morning. Smile today that you haven't smiled at, and watch what you get in return. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Watch what you get in return. I tell people at the nursing homes all the time that when we're around all the elderly people, say, smile at somebody you haven't smiled at today and watch what you get in return, because there's a lot of anger out there. Give somebody a smile and you change their life. You change the minute you smile at them. They cannot be the same person when you give that kind of love. It doesn't have to be miraculous. A smile is a gift from God. Give it to them. Give your neighbors today a smile. Greet everybody today. Don't let anybody leave without you greeting them this morning. We are his family. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to love him because he loves us. He trusts us to do what he's asked us to do. What a beautiful friend. And we do this in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, in Jesus' name. That was good. Praise the Lord. Ooh. The disciples are probably in heaven telling Jesus, that's not fair. All those people in second congregational, that's not fair. We didn't have that. We didn't have that book to read, Jesus. We didn't have all those words to study, and we didn't know what they know. That's not fair. And God said, I love them like I love you. I love them like I love you. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We were under the blood of Christ. And he simply asked in this church that we do this in remembrance of him. Because he loved us. And he loves you today. Thank you, Lord. Those men who wrote the book of the Bible were just like you and me. They worked for a living. They built things. They made their way. They had their occupations. They had their troubles. They had their life, and they gave it to God. They accepted God in their heart, and God lifted them up to do great things. From a fisherman to writing in God's Word, the Bible. Well, God couldn't lift them any higher than that. Imagine how much higher he wants to lift you this morning. You're his people. The sheep of his pasture. He loves this church. We should love this church like he loves this church. He sees people here trying and yearning for more and faithful to his name, giving him praise. He sees that. Brings him joy. He trusts us with the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He warns us that things will come against us. People will come against us. We'll find reproach. People will want to hear about God. They will disagree with what you said. The Bible says you leave them to be. The Bible says just turn away. When God says it, it's good enough for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we didn't know when we were sitting next to you at that dinner what you meant. But those people at Second Congregational, they understand this morning. When you pour the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins, they understand that they live under the blood of Christ. They're protected by that because of what you did for them. And you only ask them to do this in remembrance of you, in Jesus' name. Be healed in the best ways this morning, church. Let your faith be stronger this morning. Let your strength be stronger. Strengthen them arms and those legs and have that faith. Sit up and just have that. Accept what God is doing in your life so he can do more for you. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Sometimes a little bit of knowledge is a hard thing to talk about. People talk about the Bible and they talk about God and then they say, well, God accepts everything. He said, no, he doesn't. He loves everybody. He doesn't accept everything. We must walk according to that book, according to that word. We must lift people up and we must all pray for repentance. Every day when you wake up, you pray, God, forgive me for what I've said, what I've done, my thoughts, my feelings. We just ask God to cleanse us. And that's a gift from God, because when you do that, you then have to believe that you've been forgiven. And you walk away from that, and you try to be stronger. But if people have no need for God, and they don't believe that sin exists, those are the people that people say, oh, how can God just let people perish? You know, he didn't let anybody. They chose to perish. They made that choice to not need him, to not want him, to not know him. So when the Bible says, when people knock on the door and he says, I never knew you, that's what he's talking about. People could be in churches, in different churches, and believing things that they want to believe because it feels good. The Bible says to be a pleaser of man or a pleaser of God. Paul said, if I'm going to be a pleaser of man, I'm wasting my time because I can't please man. But I'm going to try to please God, and I'm going to bring people to that truth. And that's the greatest gift we have, that word of God. Amen. Give him praise, church. This is a great morning. Hallelujah.